Good evening, Rabosai. I wanted to speak about a number of halachas that relate to Seudas Purim, just a few days away. First of all, the Gemara tells us that, let's say like this, if a person's going to be working the day shift at whatever job they have, so they want to be Yotzei their Seudas Purim on Leil Purim, on Wednesday night, instead of on Thursday afternoon. I actually got a shaila like this today. Somebody, a woman is going to be working a day shift, and she, on that day shift, she might not be able to have her, a normal Purim suit. I mean, she might be able to, you know, wolf down a pastrami sandwich, but she's not going to be able to have a proper, Seudas Purim, in terms of with other people in a proper environment. So could she be Yotzei, could she have a suit at night? So the Gemara says explicitly that a person who has a suit at night, lo yotza. So, what does that mean? There's Rav Yoh who says something interesting. Rav Yoh says, we don't paskin like this, Rav Yoh says, if you have a Seuda only at night, lo yatza, because you have to have a second Seuda tomorrow. In other words, Rav Yoh holds that when the Gemara says you can't have a Seuda at night, it's not telling you you can't do it at night, it means you should do it at night, and besides the night that's not sufficient, it's not enough on its own, you also have to have a second Seuda during the day. So according to that opinion, the Gemara is telling us you have to have two Seudas. That's not how we understand. We understand that when it says you're not Yotzi at night, it means at night is meaningless. There's no point. And therefore, there's only a kiyum during the day. That's how we paskin. And therefore, Suda could only be done during the day. Nevertheless, and that's the Shulchan Aruch paskins. If you have it at night, lo Yotzi de Chavasa, but the Ramah adds, but nevertheless, Balayli, you should add a little bit of Yarbik Tzas b'Suda. You should have a little bit extra. I heard from a Schechter that there were two minhagim in Germany. One minhag in Germany was bidavka to have milchiks on Leil Purim. Bidavka, why? To show that there's no chi of Seuda. The other minhag goes bidavka to have fleishiks to say, like the Rav Yah, that there is a mitzvah of Seuda, not, but it's just the first one. The main one is during the day, but there's also a Seuda on Purim, Leil Purim, but we don't pass like that. What are the parameters of eating meat at the Seuda? So the Rambam says explicitly, Ketzer Chovas Seuda Zu, what's the mitzvah of Seuda? Sheyochal Basar. So the Rambam says explicitly to have flesh. I got a shayla yesterday or 2 days ago from somebody, I believe in this room, whose wife, so he blamed it on his wife. His wife wanted to know if they could have a milchika Purim Seuda. And I said, I think there's an explicit Rambam who answers your question. The answer is a resounding no. No real man with his full masculinity would ever ask such a shayla, right? Okay, fine. What about chicken? What about chicken? So chicken, I think we typically assume, would work equally, almost as equally as basar. Ephraim Greenblatt, the Memphis connections, quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein, chicken works. Do you have to have bread? Again, this child is often asked more by the women than the men. So they're happy to have some proteins, and they're happy to have salads, and they're happy to have soups, but they just don't want the challah. So is there a chiyuv to have bread? So this question is a question that we encounter with many Seudas mitzvah on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, on Rosh Chodesh. So what are the parameters in all these different places? So how do we find, what's the litmus test to determine whether you have to have, whether bread is a chiyuv or not? The litmus test is, if you omit Yalev Yavo, or Ritzei, or in our case, Al Hanisim, do you have to repeat yourself? So let's start with Shabbos. If you forget Ritzei, do you have to go back? You do. So for the first two meals, you do have to go back, so bread is obligatory the first two meals. So the Shlish is, you don't have to go back. That's the litmus test. That litmus test indicates that through the shlishis, you're not obligated to have bread. You could be yotzi with other things. What about yontif? Same thing. If you get yalev yavo, you have to go back. So it must be that yontif, you have to have bread. What about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, do you have to have bread? Well, do you repeat benching if you forget yalev yavo? You don't repeat benching if you forget yalev yavo on Rosh Chodesh. Even though same yalev yavo on yontif, you would repeat benching. Because in yontif, it's obligatory to have bread. On Rosh Chodesh, it's not obligatory to have bread. So according to the same, this progression, what are we going to say on Purim? If you forget benching, I'm sorry, if you forget Al-Hanisim, thank you, in benching on Purim, do you have to repeat it? No, you do not. That's the litmus test. That indicates that you do not have a chiyuv to eat bread on Purim. That's what might come out. But let me rephrase that. It's a machlokas whether or not you have to repeat all anisim. It's machlokas whether or not you have to repeat all anisim. And the explanation of this machlokas is those who hold that you have to repeat all anisim, it's because they hold you do have to have bread. Those who hold you do not have to have, you do not have to repeat al hanis, you don't have to repeat benching. That's because they hold it's not obligatory to have bread. So what's the solution? The solution is to have bread and don't forget al hanisim. Because if you forget al hanisim, then you're in a big quandary, it's a big question, and therefore avoid it. What happens if you began your su'udah by day, as most of course, you have to begin your su'udah by day, you have to have a rov su'udah by day, as the poskim point out, the majority of the su'udah should be by day. The Shulchan Aruch says that, right? It's not a fly-by-night chumrah. Rov su'udah tzricha lios biyom. That's the Shulchan Aruch. V'lo kamosh nogin, not like everybody does. But the rov of the su'udah should be by day. So if you do have your su'udah by day, but you don't finish till nightfall, do you recite al hanisim? Yes, you do recite al hanisim. You say al hanisim at night. What happens? Sometimes people have a minyan and they're nervous as the su'udah gets longer and longer. They're worried that they will be less and less able to daven ma'ariv properly. So they want to sometimes chap ma'ariv while they're still standing. Let's say it like that. And then they're going to continue with their su'udah a little bit afterwards. So can they recite al hanisim on Motzei Purim? Right, they started before Shkia, so they had, let's say, the Rov su'udah, or either way, they started before Shkia, so they theoretically can say al hanisim, but they already davened Maariv. So here, this is a machlokas, this is a shaila, if you could recite al hanisim, if it's after Shkia, after you davened Maariv, that is going to be a little bit of a complicated situation, so better to avoid it. One last halacha. We know that for a person to daven, to stay Shemona Esrei, while they are under the influence, there has to be a threshold of being able to be Omid Lefnei HaMelech, which is exactly what tefillah is, or Omid Lefnei HaMelech. Something to think about 3 minutes when we get to Shemona Esrei. And therefore, if a person is not able to be Omid Lefnei HaMelech, is not able to speak and present himself formally, so that person is not able to daven Shemona Esrei. Although that is true for Shemona Esrei, which is Amid Lefnei HaMelech, that is explicitly not the case for Birchas HaMazon. And the Yerushalmi says that since the Torah tells us when instructed us to bench, Ve'achalta, Ve'savata, Uve'rachta, that means the Torah is telling us to bench despite the fact that you just ate Anir Saveya, and presumably part of that experience could very well often be, with a little drinking. So, again, it's not talking about Purim, talking about all the time, but part of the gastronomic experience that humans engage in is that they do drink. And therefore, nevertheless, the Torah still says, uveirachta, that therefore the Yerushalmi assumes that one would be able to bench even if they are a little bit, we'll say, tipsy. If they're not able to say anything at all, then they would not be able to bench, but if they're just a little tipsy, they can't be omid lefnei hamelech. But they could get the words out right, then they can't daven, but they can bench because of this Yerushalmi, v'achalta v'savata, including drinking, nevertheless, of Erachta.